very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. We have another busy programme lined up for you between now and 8 o'clock with League of Ireland Football, Ladies GAA, Hurling and Boxing all featuring tonight. And before we speak to our first guest, some of the sporting headlines this evening. The Russian Football Union's confirmed they're appealing to the Court of Arbitration for Sport regarding their expulsion from world football. Russia were due to play Poland later this month in a World Cup playoff. However, they say that neither FIFA nor UEFA had a legal basis to remove their teams despite Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And the Ukraine FA has reportedly requested that their World Cup playoff with Scotland be postponed. They're due to meet in Glasgow on March the 24th, with the winner playing either Austria or Wales for a place in Qatar. The draw for the FA Cup sixth round will be made before tonight's remaining fifth round tie. Everton entertain the only non-league club left in the competition. That's Boreham Wood. Kick-off at Goodison Park is at 8:15. In rugby, Anthony Eddy has stepped down from his position at the ARFU the day before a major report into the women's game is published. He had been the director of sevens and women's rugby. And in golf, Rory McIlroy holds a 3-shot lead on the opening day of the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He's finished with a 7-under par opening round of 65. Gray McDowell and Will Zalatoris are among a group of 4 players who are challenging back on 4-under par. Padraig Harrington has won over through 8, with Seamus Power also won over after 6 holes. Well, it's a year of celebration for junior soccer here in Donegal, 50 years on from the start of the Donegal League back in 1972. This weekend, the league will mark that special anniversary with an event at the Diamond Park in Ballyar, where Jerry McEnany, the president of the Football Association of Ireland, will be in attendance and he'll unveil a commemorative plaque to mark the league's golden jubilee. The secretary of the Donegal League is Nigel Ferry and he joins me on the line now. Nigel, thanks for joining us on the programme again ahead of what promises to be a very special occasion at Diamond Park tomorrow night.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairman. It's good to be back on again and thanks for the chance to speak on your programme again. Delighted, looking forward to a good function tomorrow evening and hopefully, you know, it's nice to mark the occasion. It's a big milestone for us, for the league, and it'll be nice to mark it with a fitting open out there in Ballyar tomorrow evening.
It will indeed. Officially founded in 1971, the league this weekend marks the 50th anniversary because the first round of league matches then were played in March in 1972.
That's right, yeah. I suppose up until you know, the Donegal's junior soccer in Donegal hadn't really much of a structure. It wasn't really organised until that time. And probably the group of visionary people around it, 1971, I think they started having meetings and they decided to go ahead with, I think they had an AGM in November of 1971 and they decided they probably were going to run with a structured format of football, you know, for the coming season, rather than what they had before that, the summer cups and the friendly games here and there. So you had people like Dick Duffy, Father McSweeney, you know, and Paddy McFadden, just to name but a few there that started off, Colin McBride, all those people way back in that first time, they sat down and had a number of meetings and they said they'd give it a go. And that's really where the structured format of junior football in Donegal began.
Yeah, and when you think about it, you know, they had the foresight, Nigel, but you know, they went on to do so much for football in Donegal. They were involved with their own clubs, of course, but they were, you know, more than happy to take up the baton and maybe, you know, organise football and do the things that others were maybe a wee bit reluctant to do.
Yeah, to be honest, that's 100% Dermot, because I mean, I know all those guys were legends in their own clubs as well, but they probably wouldn't have had the success that they had on except for that they actually did set up the league structure, and that league structure gave them the platform as well to further their teams and develop their clubs as well. And I mean, Fannett needs no introduction to the how they have came on leaps and bounds, Letterkenny Rovers and all those clubs, the initial clubs are in the Swilly Rovers, the Gweedore Celtics, all those ones, they had all golden eras around that time, each of them, you know, dominating at different stages down through the thing. the first 10, 15, 20 years of the Donegal League. And it was because of the work that those people from their clubs put in at the start, I think, to help get the structure of football set up in Donegal.
Yeah, and football was always so popular here in the Northwest, wasn't it, Nigel? I mean, 50 years is a long time, but there are still a lot of people still around who will remember the days of the Summer Cups and the times before we had organised football.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, we're blessed now. I think we started off with about 20 teams, which was a lot when you think there was no team structured, you know, structured football at that time, to get 20-odd teams to play in the first one. You know, and we kind of gone from strength to strength at the minute now. We have nearly 40 teams, you know. We have 39 at the minute, but Lifford, hopefully, will be back for this next year. They're taking a break out this year. So you can effectively say that we've doubled over the 50 years. We'll lose teams, we'll pick teams up again, but we still have, you know, we're expanding all the time. A lot of these clubs and teams now have two teams, so... Again, it's 50 years, and you can see it's just like it's cyclical that's going on there, and hopefully we're going from strength to strength, and we will continue to progress again as well in the next 50 years ahead and try and develop. You know, we're only passing through this era now, so we just have to keep the wheels in motion as to what these fellas done way back in the 70s, and indeed other members like, let's say, Denny Kelly, and all these other people down through the years, Dennis Martin, Fred Bell, Mary McAteer, Joe Duffy. I could go on, John Duffy. Could go on naming people for, you know, that at their own time did an awful lot to keep junior football and soccer in Donegal, not just joint, even people in the Ulster Senior League and all them.
Yeah.
It's big commitments to keep these wheels turning and keep stuff like that going. So we're delighted to be able to, you know, to do something this weekend to mark it, because it's a big thing for us to have 50 years.
And many of those that you mentioned there, Nigel, you know, sadly no longer with us. So it's on weekends like this that you can honour their memory.
Of course. And again, those names that I mentioned there, any club member and any of these clubs that we have in our league can mention another 5 or 6 or 10 names of people like that in their own club who kept their clubs going at times, maybe when they weren't, you know, going well. And this weekend is a celebration for those people as well, for those clubs, because even though we're a league celebrating 50 years, quite a lot of our clubs are celebrating 50 years or in around that mark as well. And it's a testament to them, to all the work that they've done, you know, competing and getting teams, putting teams out every weekend, and progressing their facilities to what they have today as well. So, I mean, a lot of hard work and a lot of great work has been done this last 50 years.
Yeah, and before I ask you about what's happening then this weekend, Nigel, I just want to touch on, since I've been speaking to you last, we've lost another great Donegal League figure in John Joe McAteer, who of course did so much for football, not just in Kerrykeel but right around the county. He was a household name, wasn't he? And he was such an outgoing, friendly personality. He'll be sadly missed.
Of course he will. I mean, John Joe, it was these characters of the game are all over the place, and there was none bigger than John Joe McAteer in Kerrykeel. I mean, you can still, everyone remembers traveling to Kerrykeel, and the first person you'd meet would be John Joe, the second person you'd meet would be Peggy. They were the backbone of that club down there, and they kept them going for years. And John Joe was a fantastic club person for Kerrykeel, and he was a fantastic contributor to the Donegal League as well. At all our meetings, when John Joe spoke, he listened, you know, and he was held in highest regard and high esteem from everybody. And again, he was active in the executive of the Donegal League for years as well. All these people like John Joe, they're the cogs in the whole wheel that is junior football in Donegal and keeping it going. And you know, he'd be a big miss for not alone his own family and everyone in Kerrykeel and the club, but also for us in the Donegal League as well. We've lost a massive character by losing John Joe.
Indeed we have. Well, Friday night then, Nigel, Jerry McInerney of the FAI, he's the president, he's a man with connections to Donegal, family connections, he's going to be there. There's going to be an unveiling of a commemorative plaque, and it marks the start of a weekend of action too, because there are some big games scheduled for this weekend.
Yeah, well, that's right. We're delighted that Jerry could facilitate our request to come down this weekend. He's a busy man, and it's not easy to get him. But when he did hear that it was the 50th anniversary and that we're marking it with the weekend of fixtures, he was only too willing to come down. So we're delighted to have him down here. And what we did was we decided we would play our two Brian McCormick semi-finals over this weekend, and also our two Saturday Cup semi-finals as well. So, cracking games, yeah. We're starting off in Ballyaren Friday night after the unveiling of the plaque. We'll have a crack, what promises to be a cracker of a semi-final between St Catharines and Bonagie, and both teams going really well this year. So, and again, you know, maybe teams that they're not heard of in success, winning cups and leagues this last number of years. So it's great for them to get back as well into a semi-final. And then we've another semi-final then down Rathmullen on Sunday between Kildrum Tigers, who are flying, going really well this year, and KJU Rovers. So, I mean, again, that's another good game, great semi-final to look forward to. And, of course, the two games on the Saturday, we're taking one down to Gidore and another to Ballybuffet. Both games, toss of the coin between them, you know, could go either way.
Yeah, and there are Voodoo Cup semi-finals on as well. Fintown Harps play Old Town on Saturday, and Remelton Mariners against Strand Rovers. And just going back to that Bonagie St Catharines game, it's very timely as well that they're in the semi-final. Bonagie, of course, long-time members of the Donegal League, and St Catharines, well, Kelly Beggs it was that played the Army in the opening fixture of the newly formed Donegal League all those years ago.
Yeah, that's right. It's just funny the way it falls into place, you know, and... We didn't know until a couple of weeks ago that it was going to be St Catharines and Killybegs were in the semi-final, so it's amazing the way that it worked out, you know. And as I said, delighted. And again, you talk about people and people that came through the Donegal League down through the years. There's probably nobody more famous than a former St Catharines player and indeed league winner, our national captain at the minute, Seamus Coleman, would have been on a league Premier Division winning team for St Catharines back in 2005, I think, you know, so it's nice to see his club being represented again up at the top.
Okay then, well, I'm sure there will be more events taking place throughout the season, Nigel, because it's such a special time, 50 years, we look forward to that, but for now, listen, best of luck for tomorrow night, first of all, and thanks for joining us on this evening's programme.
Yeah, we hope to launch a book, Dermot, maybe later on. The clubs are actually working on it at the minute, sending us back material. So hopefully, please God, and May or June when we're having our AGM or our dinner dance, we'll be able to launch a little commemorative book to maybe shed a little bit more light on 50 years of junior football in Donegal. So thanks for having me again, Dermot.
Thank you, Nigel. Great stuff. We look forward to that. Nigel Ferry, the Secretary of the Donegal League, this weekend marking the start of their 50th anniversary celebrations. Well, there was confirmation earlier this evening of a number of rescheduled games in both the Premier Division and First Division of the League of Ireland. Games affecting Finn Harps, Sligo Rovers and Derry City are included in the changes. Remember, both Harps and Sligo Rovers saw their fixtures on the opening weekend. Well, they were postponed due to unplayable pitches. The Premier Division meeting of Harps and Drogheda United will now be played on Monday, April the 4th. That match at Finn Park will have an 8 o'clock kickoff. And Sligo Rovers against Bowes, that'll now be played on the following evening, which is Tuesday, April the 5th, with a 7:45 start at the Showgrounds. Meanwhile, the North West Derby between Harps and Sligo Rovers, due to be played on the Easter Bank Holiday Monday, April the 18th, that'll kick off now at the earlier time of 6 o'clock. And also in the Premier Division, Derry City against St Pat's and Shamrock Rovers against Sligo have both been rescheduled. They were originally scheduled for Friday, July the 8th. Both fixtures will now take place on Monday, May the 9th, due to their participation in European competitions. And tomorrow night, the action resumes, and former Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen joins me to look ahead to what's another busy night of games. Gavin, we may start with Harps then, a home game against Bowes. Never an easy task.
No, it certainly is not. Bowes from the last couple of seasons under Keith Long are expecting big things again this season, so they'll be looking to come to Fan Park to get the 3 points. But obviously Harps, with only 1 point on the board so far, and this is the first home game of the season, will hopefully be looking to get the 3 points themselves.
Yeah, Harps don't have a great record against Bowes up in Dublin, but at Finn Park, Gavin, in recent times they've made life difficult for the visitors.
Yeah, I think, I suppose we're harping on about it now this last couple of years, but any team coming to Finn Park won't fancy their chances, won't fancy it. Going back years, the Dublin clubs never liked to travel to Donegal, so but Harps need to make the most of that, obviously, on home ground. The pitch at Finn Park will be soft and it won't be perfect, so you'll probably hear the Bowes manager complaining about the pitch after the game if he doesn't get the right result. So again, Harps need to make that and make that count at this stage of the season. They really, really need points on the board as well.
Yeah, and of course, a first chance for supporters to see some of these new players up close and personal. Ollie Horgan's team, well, it's very much all change, isn't it? New faces, players that we haven't seen playing before, so that'll add to the occasion, no doubt.
Oh, of course it will. Like, obviously, the first game being called off, so everybody's sort of maybe watched but snippets or watched some of the games and watched LOA or listened to the game on the radio, but look, again, it's not like seeing them in person. By all accounts, of the Mihailovic, the striker, looks decent, you know, in the first couple of outings. The Spanish centre halves looked very good. And watching the game against the Dock all night, Conor Torres acquitted himself really well. So, again, hopefully he'll get another start tomorrow night. So, there's a lot of new faces, and it's obviously a full new team at this stage.
And what would be your take on things, Gavin? I know it's only two games in, but the results against UCD and perhaps the performances in those two games, there's probably reason for optimism.
The performances in the two games were decent. The UCD game, they were the better side. They dominated the game for most parts, created most of the scoring opportunities, maybe six or seven. Had all the corners in the game bar one. So performance-wise, good, but they weren't ruthless enough. They're not putting the ball in the net. And that's probably a thing that's going back for a few years now with Harps under Ollie. There's just not a free-flowing scoring team, and it looks like it's going to be more of the same this year. Against Dundalk in the first 44-43 minutes, they were very, very good. I thought played past the ball really well, were the better side, but they got caught with a sucker punch, a poor goal they concede, and Ollie probably was mad about it at half time. But after that, then Dundalk probably took their chances, and Harps didn't, and the game petered out for them. So, like, there is, performance-wise, not bad for a game and a half, but results-wise, no, could have been a lot better.
First game then for Bows away from Daly Mount Gavin, where they drew with Dundalk, and then on Monday night they beat St Pat's by a goal to nil. That was a notable one.
That was a big one now, Dublin Derby. Pat's obviously started the season quite well. So for Bows to beat them would have been a massive result, a massive confidence boost for them. But again, coming to Fan Park, they'll not fancy it. Again, they've some new players as well. Georgia Kelly's not there this year, so whoever's going to spearhead their attack, you know, will be interesting as well.
Okay, then, well, some of the other fixtures then tomorrow night, Gavin. Well, one match on Saturday night, Sligo against Dundalk, but the Harps game against Bows is one of four games on Friday night. Derry City on their travels away to a Shelburne side who have, well, they've had the mixed the good and the bad, haven't they, since they've re-entered the Premier Division and have been sampling life under Damien Duff. This game is going to be interesting at Talca Park tomorrow night.
It is. It's a very interesting game. In terms of Shelburne, they look like they want to pass the ball, they want to play it from the back and play it through the middle of the pitch. And to their detriment, in the first game of the season, it probably worked against them in a 3-0 defeat. But they kept trying to play, and then they had a good result in their second game, and then against UCD, by all accounts, they looked a bit tired and jaded and drew 0-0. And UCD could have won it at the end, had a great chance. But again, it's a new team, a new manager in the league. They looked like they would want to try and do the things the right way, but obviously the results mightn't be what they want every week, so it'll be interesting. But at Tolka for Derry, which down through the years, Shelburne Derry was always a massive game in the league, so there's no doubt this will be the same. Derry were against Shamrock Rovers, what a result, what a game to watch. It was really proper League of Ireland football, and a great finish to the game. Against Sligo all night, they huffed and puffed and they done okay, but they just didn't do enough to beat Sligo. Sligo sat in and were comfortable enough in the end, so they're probably disappointed they dropped a couple of points in their Brandywell. But again, from their start of the season, they're probably happy where they're at.
How big a blow is the injury to Kieran Harkin? Reports that he's going to be out for quite a while after picking up the serious injury against Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, I think it's an ACL, so he'll probably need an operation, probably miss most of the season, it looks like. So again, apparently he's a character with the dressing room and a good player at that. He was very good in the games I watched this season. So he'll be a loss. It's something that's unplanned for this stage of the season, and they can't really recruit unless they have a contract player to fill the void. So I'd leave them a wee bit short in the middle, but look, we keep harping on and talking about Derry's squad, and it is good, and there is depth, and the likes of Jack Malone and Evan McLaughlin and them guys might get an opportunity now as well. So it's a big blow, but I think they have enough resources to cover it.
Okay, well, the final two games tomorrow night, St Pat's against Shamrock Rovers and a Dublin derby at Richmond Park. That one's at 7:45. And at the same time, Drogheda United hosting UCD. I would suggest Harps supporters might have more of an interest in this one, Gavin, given the strong contingent of Donegal players and of course your buddy William on the management team at UCD, and then Keith Cowan playing with Drogheda. So there's no end of local interest in this fixture.
There's not an added to the fact that Drogheda and UCD probably two of the clubs are going to be in around the bottom of the league this season. So there will be a lot of interest at Harps and Donegal in this game. And look, it's too close to call. UCD's game so far, they look like they're quitting themselves quite well, but maybe not scoring a goal. They haven't scored a goal in the three games, so that'll be a wee bit of a worry for them. And Drogheda, they've only played the two. Again, like, fairly unknown quantity in terms of players, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think 3 points for either side at this point will be a big lift for them.
Okay, before I let you go, Gavin, how are things going with Coghill since I was last chatting to you? We're back in FAI Intermediate Cup action. A good win down in Dublin, but not an easy draw in the next round.
No, it's going quite well. We're happy enough for where we're at this point. We beat Bluffy Wanderers in the last round in the intermediate in Dublin on penalties. Tough game. We had a man sent off 5 minutes into the second half, which didn't help, but look, we done well. We probably shaded it and were the better team even with 10, but delighted to get through. But then obviously the next round, the quarterfinals, now we've got another away tie to Bluebell United again, who are one of the top tier teams in the country. So look, you're not going to get it easy at this point in the competition, so we just have to take it on the chin and see how we go. We're confident we can beat anybody, you know, with a bit of rub of the green, and hopefully we'll do the same again in the next round.
Okay, and a parting match this weekend against Letterkenny Rovers in the Ulster Senior League.
Yeah, we play Letterkenny at home, which is never an easy task neither. They've brought on some young players and their results have turned around a bit. They've pushed up the league a bit. So we've never played Letterkenny that they've ever made it easy. So we've four games left in the league at this point. So look, we're looking to try and win all in games and try and win another league as well.
Okay, great stuff, Gavin. Thanks a million for joining us tonight on The Score.
No bother, Jim. Thank you.
Gavin Cullen there, former Finn Harps goalkeeper. Busy times for him as manager at Coghill Celtic, and of course he's keeping an eye on all things League of Ireland as well. By the way, in the Irish League this weekend, Premiership action tomorrow night, Carrick Rangers hosting Linfield. The Irish Cup has reached the quarter final stages. Some big ties on this coming Saturday: Ballymena against Larne, Dungannon Swifts are at Crusaders, and Glentoran hosting Newry. And in the Irish League Championship, Derrickview have a home game against Knockbreda on Saturday. Dundella host Institute. Well, we'll turn our attentions now to Gaelic games, and the National Football League has a free weekend this weekend, although Croke Park have rescheduled a handful of matches that were postponed a few weeks back during the period of bad weather. But there's no break for the hurlers. This relentless run of fixtures continues across all divisions, and here in the Northwest there's a mouth-watering meeting of two teams who are going really well in Division 2A of the Alliance National Hurling League. Donegal host Derry at O'Donnell Park on Sunday, and Tom Comick has been previewing this game. First up, we'll hear from the Derry camp then. Their manager, Dominic McKinley, seems happy with where they are at this stage.
We put in a good pre-season, you know, and worked very hard at getting our best players in, and we're very thankful to the managers of the clubs, you know. And this year our panel's quite strong, and I think that reflects in the performance in the team as well. You know, I think everybody knows Derry has good hurlers there. It's just getting them all out and working hard for each other and committing and a bit of honesty. And at this moment in time, everything's going well, but it can all turn very quick, Tom, as we know.
Yeah. Obviously missed out on promotion last year, to losing out to Kildare in the final. Obviously, it's the target this year, is it?
It's a target. Everything's a target. Every game's a target, Tom. You know, I suppose the cliche is you just approach them. The first and foremost, we want to win a couple of games, get out of the relegations, because that's a worry as well. Because I said even at the start, all these teams in this group, if your attitude's not right on the day and it's not spot on, they can turn you over as well. So this year in particular, we have been beating teams who are recording good scores, you know, what something we target at the start of the year. getting more return on the ball. And yeah, we'd love to win on this Sunday. Would probably put us in a strong place, put us into the final of the league, and also full Donegal's thinking the same way, Tom.
When we look at the 2B league table, we see Wicklow and Mayo struggling at the bottom. We see obviously Derry at the top, Donegal up there along with you, and Sligo as well. Is there a change happening in hurling, do you think?
Recently when I said to come in, it's about consistency. You know, Derry hadn't beat Wicklow maybe for about 9 or 10 years. Mayo beat us last year down there at the start of the year, and then gradually as it went along, we started to get our feet below us. But there is a change. You know, Donegal has been very impressive his last 2-3 years as well. Again, that's with hard work, Tom. There's no rocket science, and it's about the group of people coming together and working hard and getting a system and a style in place, you know. Yeah, they might be a change of guard, but also all them things can change very quickly, you know, one or two bad injuries, particularly with a confined programme. So we're all working hard. We are a group of players trying to manage them as best we can. And I would say it's the same for all counties.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, Donegal have made great strides in recent years. And I suppose you are the barometer, really, in this league. And, well, they gave you a right old scare last year in Ballinscreen, didn't you? Just a point in it?
Yeah, they gave us a great scare. And, that, you know, that's a warning light straight away for us for this year. You know, we went there last year and people say, I take it for granted, you know, particularly people that's not on the ground knowing what's going on, the work in Donegal. So, we went there and we're very lucky. I think Cormac O'Doherty hit a monster point to win the game, you know, and there's one or two things. There were phases of play, either could have went on and won the game, but we have the utmost respect for them, Tom, and we'll be approaching the game like we approach any other game. We'll be looking at one or two matchups. But we will be concentrating on our own game and trying to get our plan together on the day.
You mentioned earlier that you got everybody together. You have a stronger team this year. I noticed there's a few changes from that team that played Donegal last year.
We have got a lot of changes. You know, the Lavi contingent wasn't there last year. We have got, you know, they're in this year. The Banagher players, or 4 or 5 of them in as well, you know, and they've been quite impressive. I think everybody reflects to Slough Neil, and you know, that's not to get in the way. Slough Neil players are important, but I don't like talking about individuals or clubs, individual clubs. This is about a team, a Derry team, you know, and we have got a lot of players from all them clubs I talked about now, and now it's about gelling it together and making them trust each other and work hard for each other on the field. And that's why we're stronger, Tom. It's not because anything else. It's stronger because the players committed so to date, you know, have committed very greatly to each other. And hopefully, as I say, let's see where it takes us, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned Cormac O'Doherty with a massive point last year to clinch it. He certainly has the eye in this year as well, again, top scorer.
Yeah, Cormac, well, I think it's well known, Cormac O'Doherty is not. He's not just a good player, he's a good fella and cares deeply about hurling and his own club and Derry, you know. And that's a major, major plus for us. He's his captain as well, and that's one of the reasons he is captain. And we're just hoping that Cormac can keep on going, keep injury free, which is key, and keep on doing what he's doing, you know. But Cormac will be the first to acknowledge, you know, the work the other players do to create that platform for him to get his scores, and vice versa for any other player, you know. But Cormac's free taking is immense, and it's something we rely on. Every team has good free takers, but they're very, very important in the day's game, you know.
Yeah. So in a good position coming to Letterkenny on Sunday?
I were in a good position. We lost a couple of players last week. Tom was the biggest factor, you know, with Richie Mullen, Polly Samsing, and Tiernan McHugh. So they pull hamstrings, and that leaves them out. But I, you know, them's our worries, Tom. You know, at the end of the day, I said to the players last night, Donegal or anybody else will not be worried about our injuries. It's Donegal playing Derry. Whoever's missing's missing. That's the reason why we have a panel. We have to get on with it, and we have to go out and play as if they were there and play for them. You know, we can't have any excuses. There is no excuses in this game, and nobody will be like, oh, you're missing this or this. No, that's not the way it goes. Yeah, there are serious misses for us, but we got to get
Dominic
on
McKinley
with.
There, the dairy manager, in conversation with Tom Comack. Well, his opposite number, Mickey McCann, says that after 3 wins from 3 games, Donegal are looking up the table rather than below.
We knew it took 5 or 6 points to make sure you're going to be safe in this division. So we're on 6 now, and we're definitely safe. And look, we're looking at the other end of the table now, and possibly could be in a semi-final. And maybe the winners of herself and Derry on Sunday will be guaranteed a final spot, because both teams can't be caught, and whoever wins will have the head-to-head advantage. So, look, Tom, we're in a good spot, and pressure's off now. It's all bonus area for us, and look, we'll be trying to relax, play hurling, and see if we can get the semi-final and push on maybe for a final spot.
The situation is what? If you top the group, you go straight into the final, and if you're second or third, you play as a semi-final, is that it?
Yeah, that's correct. So whoever wins between us and Derry will top the group, because even I know there's a match left, but whoever wins on Sunday will have a head-to-head advantage. So the top spot is under the final, Tom, and then a second and third playoff in the semi-final spot. So look, there's still 2 teams can get up to 6 point level with us, but we have a good scoring difference there, and hopefully we can pick up a point or two yet before the league's over. And it'd be nice to leave Letterkenny with a result and get a week's break and get ready for the final, which there's a lot of matches at the minute, Tom, throwing the bodies, and it'd be nice to get straight to the final and stay away from the semi and rest boys up, but if that's the case. But if not, we'll just have to batter on with it. Derry is going to be a big, strong task. And look, they've seen everybody off comfortably, Tom. Nobody's laid a glove on them, really, apart from Sligo on the first day that we were in it. But they were probably 5 or 6 points better than Sligo. They Sligo got a goal in the last minute. So look, they're the strongest team in it, Tom, and they're top for a reason. And they're getting results comfortably, you know. But at home in Letterkenny, we'll be willing to give them a good shot, you know.
Well, you gave them a right good fright last year in Bannockburn, just a point in it after drawing level. You were pipped at the post.
Yeah, there's been nothing on us, Tom, the last few times. The Christy Ring match the 2 years before that, where we were 9 up at half time and they come back and beat us by a point. So they just turned us over the last couple of times by small margin, you know. It's just that we're missing a few at the minute, you know. You've got your Ryan still out, and Jack Alohan hurt his hamstring last week. Mick Donoghue and Sean McVeigh's doubtful, who come off after the first half. Like, Tom, so I think you need your full strength out to really put it up to Derry. But saying that, Tom, we talked about the strength and depth, and the boys coming in, they're doing a good job. And some of them get their chance this week against a good Derry team to show if they can play at that level, you know.
On the injury front, you mentioned Richie Ryan there, and you mentioned Michael Donoghue. They missed last weekend through injury, and then you picked up knocks with Jack O'Loughlin, who else was it?
Sean McVeigh.
What's the state of play on those players for this weekend?
Well, Sean has a chance. No, he hasn't trained yet this week, but he's just having bother holding the stick at the minute, but hopefully he'll be okay. He got an X-ray and there's nothing broken on Tom. Richie's leg's over, as is Jack Lawton, who hurt his hamstring last week. Tom, their leg's both over, and Mick Donoghue, probably this week might be a week early for him, but we'll know more tonight, Tom. So if Richie and Jack out, definitely out for the rest of the remainder of the league, which is two, you know, as your centre back and your full forward gone from this team, so it's two big holes to fill. But at the same time, you've Conor Gartland and them pushing for spots, Tom, and coming in there, and Declan Coulter's back in suspension. So we're a few boys out, but one or two to come back in too, Tom. The two boys will be a big loss for the rest of the league.
So open to well, haven't had the first over Wicklow last weekend. I know you've beaten Derry a couple of seasons ago, but you'd like to get one over them again this Sunday.
Actually, what, Tom? It's a wee bit of a derby match, you know what I mean, and they're a level above us, and rightly so. Their club hurling's a lot stronger and all the rest, but it'd be nice for us maybe to get a good performance on, Tom, and see where we're at. And look, there's a chance you could meet them again if you did get through from the semi-final stages. So a lot rides on Sunday in terms of home advantage, Tom, and just trying to get straight to the final and get that week's break, maybe go and watch the semi-final. So we might be missing a few bodies, Tom, but wherever we field out, we'll be pushing to see if we can put Derry to a tough task, you know.
And have you seen Derry at all this year? I know you've seen them closely and up very close in the last couple of seasons, but have you actually seen them in the flesh this year?
I have. I have been. I was at the Sligo match, Tom, and look, it was that weekend at the Wandon rain, and it was absolutely no day for hurling, and Celtic Park was badly cut up, very mucky and wet. Sligo really put it up to them, Tom, in terms of work rate and the ball getting away from them. But second half, they did get a lead, and they looked the better side, you know. But I just felt on a better day that Derry'd be a lot better team, you know, that this kind of levels things out when the weather's really bad like that. So, look, I feel like they're the best team in it, Tom, and their aim is to get to 2A, but in saying that, we haven't been far away from them the last couple of seasons, so we'll be looking to try to get a result in there if we can.
Okay, that's Mickey McCann there, the Donegal manager. It's that big game in the Alliance National Hurling League Division 2B. Donegal against Derry is 2 o'clock on Sunday, and it's at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, as I say. Also in that division, London play Wicklow and Mayo are up against Sligo. And as I mentioned earlier on, busy programme of fixtures in the hurling right across the divisions. Tyrone in Division 3A there at Monaghan on Sunday. Fermanagh have a home game in Division 3B against Lancashire. And plenty of top quality action to look forward to. And as I mentioned as well at the outset, those revised or rescheduled fixtures in the Alliance National Football League, these matches were postponed on the weekend of the really bad weather right across the country. Westmeath against Longford will play in the Alliance Football League Division 3. That's on Saturday. Fermanagh against Laois as well. There's a game in Division 2 on Sunday. Galway against Offaly. And in Division 4, Sligo will host Cavan and Wexford against Tipperary. Those matches at 2 o'clock. In ladies football then, Donegal are away to Mayo on Sunday in the Little Ladies National Football League. Another big game, this one for Maxie Curran's side, who have already beaten Galway and Westmeath this season. And Tom Comack has been speaking to Donegal's Nicole McLaughlin, who is more than happy with their start to the campaign.
We got our first win against Galway, and it's great. Good to get the year started off with a win, and then we won them down in Westmeath there last week, and so that with Galway playing Mayo there at the weekend and Mayo beating Galway, we are through now to the semi-final, so it is a good start to the season.
Yeah, so and obviously it's a shortened campaign compared to, I know what we've had shortened campaigns over the last few years, but it's just a much more shortened campaign than normal, isn't it?
Yeah, because they're in two different groups, you don't have to play everyone, and then it's you just play whoever's in your group.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I just said I suppose run away from Westmeath a bit and then maybe slackened off and let them back into it, wasn't it?
That's it. But any time you go down to Westmeath, as I said after the game, you know, they're a tough team to beat, and no one really runs away with it. You know, when you're down there and playing them in their own ground, especially not us. So I know in the last couple of years, you know, we had a tough battles now between Westmeath, and it's the way they play and the way they set up. Maybe it's and it's hard for us to break that down.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of the old, well, I won't say the old guard, but certainly a lot of experience in the team still, with yourself in it, and obviously Geraldine and Niamh and Karen there, and obviously Roisin McCafferty in goals, and Evelyn McGinley at fullback. Quite a lot of young players coming in. Donegal in somewhat of a bit of transition, would it be fair to say?
Well, it's good to get the young players in now too as well to freshen it up. It's good to see them coming through. Maybe the underage there, you have, and the likes of Shauna McFadden, who's really made her mark on the team there in the last two games. And yeah, and you know, when you have Amy Boyle-Carr there, she's on the team now for the last couple of years. And you know, you have Fiona, and she joined our team this year, along with, you know, some of the younger girls are there on the panel as well, like Jodie McFadden, she's still at minor, and you have Cody as well, she's another minor player that's on the panel, which is really good to see the minor girls on the panel as well.
Yeah, and Roisin Rogers, of course, has come through as well in the last couple of years.
Yeah, Roisin's been on the team now again, similar to Amy Boyle-Carr the last couple of years, so Roisin as well is making her mark on the team as in the last year or two, so it's good to see Roisin as well performing well in the last couple of games.
And you yourself have I know you probably moved last year, but we had become accustomed to you as a full back out around the middle now.
I was around, well, I'm centre back there last week, so back in maybe to
heading back towards goals. Heading back towards goals,
maybe. moved out a bit now, but yeah, no, it's going good. So,
How did you find midfield?
I know it's you just take it whenever you're given a position. You're just told nearly what to do and what your role is, and you just have to take. You know, it's for the benefit of the team, and what we have to do is whatever we have to do to win, really. And that's it doesn't matter where you're playing. I think it goes for all the girls on the team. It doesn't matter where you're put. Put on the pitch, it's you have a role and you have a job to do. So, in order to win the game, so that you'll do anything really.
Yeah, Mayo, your opponents are on Sunday. Is there any advantage in winning on Sunday, or it doesn't really matter at this stage, does it?
Well, there's always an advantage. You go top of the grip and then
you get the second.
Get the easier draw, but really, there's no real easy draw from here on in. You know, it is a semi-final, so, you know, it's not going to be an easy run either way. So not really an advantage, as I'm sure this other side is going to be the same. It's not really an advantage.
Yeah. Mayo seem to have come back into form. They seem to have left their troubles and struggles behind them. Massive score against Westmeath the first day out, 7-22. 6-6 against Galway last week. That has nearly put the fear of God in you, wouldn't it?
Well, they're goal happy now at the minute, but that's something we have to be prepared for and we have to set up for. You know, we know that they're looking for the goals, and that's just something we have to make sure that we can tackle this weekend when we're going down there to play them.
Yeah. And have you got everybody going with you? Have you a full squad or?
Not a full squad. We're without Geraldine again. And we do have Katie. Katie's coming back into it.
That's Katie Hearn, yeah.
Yeah, Katie Hearn. Now she's come back into it, but everyone else, I think, is going good. Yeah.
And is Geraldine injured? Is she?
Geraldine is injured. Yeah, she got injured in the Westmeath game.
Yeah, so obviously you're going to watch her now as well for later in the league, and of course the championship is coming thick and fast as well this year, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. You want to maybe make sure that she's going to be okay for, maybe hopefully we progress past. We're in the semi-finals, so hopefully maybe she'll be back for it. Or as you said, the championship, yeah, it comes quite quick then after, a couple of weeks later then, we're into championship then.
Nicole McLaughlin then, Mayo and Donegal, the big game in the Little Ladies National Football League action. That game's on Sunday. It's at 2 o'clock, and Donegal with 2 wins from 2. Can they make it a third victory against Mayo? They're old rivals, I suppose, at this level. Westmeath and Galway meet in the other match. Tyrone are in action in Division 2B in the Little Ladies National Football League. They're away to Cavan. In Division 4A, Derry have a home game against Fermanagh. By the way, back to men's football then, just for a minute or two. Ulster GA Football Under 17 League. This is the Jim McGuigan Cup. Donegal play Fermanagh on Saturday. And now we've got confirmation of venues for these games. Donegal against Fermanagh will be at 12 o'clock on Saturday, and that will be played at the Donegal Centre of Excellence in Convoy. And at under 20 level, this is the Leo Murphy Cup. Donegal have already had a few games in this competition. They're back out again on Saturday as well. And this one's at 2:15, Donegal against Mayo, and that's at Sean McCool Park in Balbofay. So the under-17s, the minors, are out at 12 o'clock on Saturday at home to Fermanagh in Convoy, and then the under-20s home to Mayo in Balbofay at 2:15. So you probably could get those two games in there. There's boxing action in Letterkenny this coming Sunday evening as supporters get a welcome opportunity to see some top-class boxing after the sport, like so many other sports, was hit by the issues surrounding COVID. The Derry News Cup is the prize as boxers from Donegal and Derry meet at the Letterkenny Boxing Club. Peter O'Donnell is the president of the Donegal County Boxing Board, and he joins me on the programme this evening. Peter, boxing nights like this were very much the norm for so long, weren't they? So it'll be strange and perhaps exciting to have boxing action back on the bill again.
That's right, Dermot. It's been great. It's great to have it all back again, you know, after a two-year lapse. The last boxing in Donegal was actually on the 8th of March 2020 when we staged the Ulster Finals over here in Dale College in Raphoe. And that'll be 2 years exactly now on Tuesday coming. So it's great to have it up and running again, you know. We got off to a good start there with the Donegal Championships on the 12th and 13th of February down in Clonmany, and big crowd, and everybody's very, very anxious to get back. 12 of our 14 clubs entered boxers for those championships, so it's all good for boxing again now. But we're kind of starting on a from scratch, Dermot, the way we're going at the minute, you know, for the, as we don't really know what boxers you have really, up to now, for championships or anything. Well, it's been out 2 years, you don't know what a boxer's form is or one thing and another, you know, because you haven't seen no boxing for 2 years, you know what I mean?
I can only imagine what it was like, Peter, for boxing clubs, because, you know, at the best of times, they're relying on the, you know, officials and volunteers to give of their time to help the young boxers with coaching and what have you. But whenever the sport came to a stop, it must have been an awful time.
It was an awful time, surely. Dermot, you know, the young boys didn't know what to do with themselves. We were allowed to train and pause for a while, then there come a lockdown, and it was back and forward like that, and there were that many regulations, and we've lost a few boxers, obviously, and we've lost a few coaches and stuff that probably, you know, was at it for so long, and they seen that they could do without it then, maybe, you know, or whatever, but with people that have dropped out of it, you know, and it's sad to see them, you know, going out, you know, but it's up back in full swing now, and we just have to make the best of it, you know.
And everything went well in Clonmany then, that couple of weeks ago, Peter? The crowds were allowed back in to watch the action?
The crowds were allowed to back in, and as you know, Dermot, as a supporters, you know, it's a spectator sport, and could you get all the supporters back again in an audience, you know, there's a lot of the boxing, the boxers get their energy from the crowd and one thing and another, you know, it's great to have the crowds back, you know.
Sure is.
We had a very good, successful Donegal Open and Novice Championships, you know. All went very well for us. And at the minute now, it's very, very busy this week alone. You know, we have a tournament in Clonmany and Cairndon on Saturday night. And then we have the show on Letterkenny for the Derry News Cup, as you said there, you know, against Derry. And that's kindly sponsored by An Garda Síochána. And that'll be a kick starting off at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening, you know. We have 14 contests down for decision, so it's all looking good for Sunday evening, you know. Plenty of tournaments ahead as well. Let's just say this Sunday we have Cairn, then the Leash Golden Gloves of a tournament on Saturday the 12th of March. Dunfanny have a tournament on Wednesday the 16th of March in Patrick's Eve in the Osmond Centre in Dunfanny. And we have a show over here in Raphoe on the 7th of May. So it's all very good, you know, for boxing in general at the minute now.
And you have a new county coach on board as well, Peter, Gerard Keaveney?
Gerard Keaveney, we have a new county coach there now. Gerard just took over, and this is his first show that he's been matching now, you know. Dominic McCafferty was from Convoy, was the county coach there for the last few years, but due to business commitments, Dominic had to give it up, you know, because he's his own club in Convoy as well they look after, and he runs a wee cafe here in the phone one thing and another, and he just hadn't got the time to he give it 100%, and Dominic's a man that likes to do everything right, you know, and he just hadn't got the time, and we're very grateful for all his services in the past, you know.
Yeah, okay. So Sunday night's event then, 5 o'clock it starts, and I know, I mean, you say it for all these contests, Peter, there's plenty of good talent on show, and that'll be the situation again on Sunday evening.
That'll be the situation. We have some good, fine, very, very good matches, you know, right from boy one from a couple of 11-year-olds right up to senior boxers on, you know, on Sunday evening. So it is makes for a good show. Dermot, you know, whenever you have a good variety of boxers like that, you know, we never got no girls match for it at the minute because their championship's starting next weekend in Dublin as well. Next Friday the 11th, the youth championships start in Dublin. So yeah. It's all busy right along for the board now at the minute, that Dermot.
Yeah, of course.
We also have the colleges this weekend.
That's just what I was going to say, yeah. The third level boxing, we shouldn't forget about it. The National Stadium hosting the action this weekend, Peter. And some local names featuring here.
Brenda Collins from, she's the female novice champion. She's from the Dunree Club. She won a title by walkover in the 60 kilos. And Shauna Blaney from the Navan Boxing Club, she's also a student at the LYIT, and she's in the female senior 60 kilo final on Saturday. And we also have Mackie McCall, Billy's Golden Gloves. He's in the senior final at 67 kilos. And Brian McNamee, formerly Convoy, now boxing out of Raffo, he's in the 75 kilo final. So it's all good for boxing in general, you know.
Okay. Well, do you know what? Time's against us, Peter, and I'd love to chat to you a wee bit more about how boxing fared during the lockdown restrictions and all. But before I let you go, you weren't standing idly by either, Peter, because you were able to keep yourself active in a way on the national front, because you were away with one of the Ireland teams, weren't you, a few months ago? That was a great experience.
Great experience in Belgrade with we were at the World Championships, you know. We didn't come among the medals or nothing. We had a 7-man team out, you know, and one of the boys got to the last 8. Big Keelan Cassidy from Waterford, you know. We had a successful enough championship. Even we didn't come on the medals, you know, but with a lull and one thing and another. But it was a great experience for all the boxers and for myself and everybody to be at the World Championships, you know.
Yeah. And you got an opportunity then to be with those top quality boxers for a few days away at a high level, Peter. That must have been great.
It was great. Great experience, Dermot. You know, we were away for 12 days in total, like, you know, in Belgrade for the championships. It was great. We had only one day off in between, you know, so we had boxing for 11 days there at them championships. It was a great experience for all the boxers and for myself and coaches and everybody, like, you know.
Yeah.
All good stuff, you know.
And knowing you, you'll get just as much enjoyment out of this weekend's local action, Peter.
I'll get it plenty. I'll be starting off tomorrow night, Dermot, with that. International in Dublin, the Youth International Wales versus Ireland in the National Stadium in Dublin tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And John Gallagher from the Two Castles and you're up there in Newton Stewart. John's the team manager for tomorrow night, you know. So.
Okay, good. Well, listen, as you mentioned
weekend.
There, yeah, busy weekend and busy times ahead. It's great that you've got a schedule lined up and no doubt we'll be talking to you over the coming weeks and months, Peter. Thanks for joining us tonight.
And thanks very much for all the coverage, Dermot. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Peter O'Donnell there. Thanks very much. And that boxing tournament on Sunday evening, that's the Donegal Derry event taking place in Letterkenny. It gets underway at 5 o'clock. By the way, Mayo Stages Rally and Motorsport is on this Sunday as well. There'll be plenty of local interest in that. Claire Morris is the venue for what's the first round of the National Rally Championship. 8 stages, plenty to look forward to. Declan Boyle and James O'Reilly are leading the Donegal contingent at this. They're seated in second at Ford Fiesta WRC. Declan Boyle will be driving this weekend. Josh Moffat and Keith Moriarty are seated number one in their Hyundai i20R5. And before we go, just a reminder of that Donegal Junior League 50th anniversary weekend, which is getting underway tomorrow night. Bunnagee United St Catharines is the Brian McCormick Cup semi-final at Diamond Park in Ballyhale. Kick-off there is at 7:45. That's about it for this evening. Next sport here on Highland Radio is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. My thanks to Joe Dex for engineering. From myself, Dermot Doherty, have a very good evening.